Good morning. Welcome to this online gathering of First Church of Christ in Altoona. We're glad you've joined us today. Hey, I want to talk to you about a subject this morning, but I thought I'd introduce it to you here at the beginning of our service. You know, I like to feed the birds out back off my deck at home, as you can see. And I was sitting there the other day, and it got me thinking about that great passage in Matthew where Jesus says, look at the birds of the air. They don't plant, they don't harvest, they don't store away in barns, but yet God provides for everything that they need. And then it goes on to say that if he does that for them, certainly he will do greater things for us because he loves us that much. That's what I want to talk to you about today. So welcome to you. Let's worship the Lord together, and then let's go together into his word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this blessed morning. Bless us now, Lord, as we share this time of worship. Be with us, Lord, as we seek you in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
So I recently met someone and we had a really good conversation. He told me that every morning when he wakes up, when his feet hit the floor, his arms go up, and he just thanks God for another morning. And it's something that I started to do as well. When I would wake up, I just try and think of a few things to be thankful for. And what it does is it takes your mind instantly to the goodness of God and to what it is that you have to be grateful for, instead of, you know, waking up and thinking about things like, oh, it's cold outside, it's raining, I have to work, etc., you know. It's actually the same guy, if you remember the story I told this past fall. I came to church, I was excited, there was someone out front of the house with his arms raised and he had his eyes closed, and I couldn't tell if he was worshiping or he was praying, but it turns out, whenever I ran into him again, that he was actually praying. He does this all day long, he said. He just prays, and when he feels led to, he raises his hands. The thing about worship is that the core of worship is that it's just a response to the goodness of God. That's what we're doing when we sing. It's a response to the goodness of God. And we can respond in thankfulness, in reverence, in surrender. It's all good as long as it's from our heart. I think that what can hold us back from genuine worship is not crossing into that place where we're actually giving heartfelt worship. And sometimes there needs to be a moment where we just decide, I'm going to worship, I'm going to be thankful, and I'm going to praise God, because how can I not? Because he is so good. So I thought, before we started worship this week, in your homes and in our home, we're just going to say something that we're thankful for. Just like this guy I met, his name is Chuck. And I'll start. I'm going to close my eyes, just like he says he does. I'm going to close my eyes, and I'm going to thank God for something, and then I'm going to ask the kids to do the same. So, thank you, Lord, for every provision. Thank you, God, for being our provider. He's up. Davis, what are you thankful for? Raise your hands and thank God for something.
God, thank you for the roof over our heads, and thank you for our cat, Lady Paws.
Amen. All right. Marla, what do you got?
Lord, I just thank you for sending your son on the cross to die for us so our sins would be forgiven.
All right. Rowan?
Lord, I thank for all the people trying to protect us from the sickness and keeping us safe.
All right. Awesome. All right. So I hope that you can do that as well. I hope that you take time with whoever's in your house, whether it's just you thanking God or there's other people with you. I hope that you take some time and give him thanks before we go into praising him. All right.
Our Father everlasting, he Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection. God, we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in life eternal. I believe in the virgin birth. I believe in the saints' communion. And in your holy church. I believe in the resurrection. When Jesus comes again. Thank you.
Good morning to you. We're glad that you've joined us here today. You know, as I said at the beginning of the service here, you know, something struck me the other day. I love sitting out on my deck. I'm sure you have the same kind of thing at your house. I love to feed the birds. I have a couple bird feeders out there, and boy, you just can't be out there without just hearing the birds singing. They're coming and going, and you know, they get frightened and they fly away, and then in a couple minutes they're back. And you know, it struck me the other day when I was out and I was noticing all the birds. Of course, my mind went to the passage in the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus tells us in Matthew 6, 25, he says, "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body or what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes?" And then he says this, he says, "Look at the birds of the air." So today I want to share with you a remedy for worry. And that remedy is just to look out the window. You know, as I feed the birds and I see them come and go, I think about this passage and I just have to wonder, you know, what was going on in Jesus' time with his disciples that caused him to have this exchange with them. Because I think whatever was going on in their mind, whatever anxiety they were feeling, whatever worries they were having, whatever Jesus was sensing in their life, is very similar to what we're experiencing today. You know, a lot of uncertainty, wondering when things are going to get back to normal, wondering if things are going to get back to normal, or what the new normal is going to be like. And of course, we're just a couple of weeks away, hopefully, to when things start relaxing and we can start getting back together in some way. But you know, I just couldn't help but think the other morning when I was noticing that all the birds were taking advantage of the way that I had refilled all the feeders. I'd even dumped a bunch of seed on the ground, and they were all coming in, and they were all singing, and they were all just partaking of this seed. And it made me think about this passage. You know, when Jesus reminded the disciples to look at the birds of the air, that they don't plant, they don't harvest, they don't store away in barns, yet they have everything that they need because God takes care of them. You know, when I read that passage, and as I shared it with you here this morning, my mind went several other places in Scripture. For example, in Ecclesiastes, in chapter 3, when it says there that to everything that there is a season. To everything that there is a season. Sometimes I think we need to be reminded of that. This is certainly a season of life. It's a very difficult season. It'll be a season that we won't soon forget. But yet, God promises us that we will get through this difficult season, this season that is marked by so much anxiety and worry and fear, and that all we have to do is look out the window and we can be reminded of his care for all of us. You know, I think about passages like Deuteronomy 31 in verse 8, where it says, "Do not be afraid or be discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you." You know, I think we need to be reminded of wonderful words like that, that even though this seems like such an unprecedented time for us, that this did not catch God by surprise, and that he is always in the future. He's always in tomorrow. He's always in next week. And he's going to prepare a way for us. And as it says there in Deuteronomy 31, that we don't have to be afraid, because he will personally go ahead of us, that he will be with us, and he will neither fail us nor abandon us. You know, I remember my grandson Jack. He has a passage written in his room that his mother used to say to him when he was little. It was Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, that says, "This is my command, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So as we come together today, I think that we need to be reminded of those wonderful promises in and from God's word. You know, I think we need to also remind ourselves and either admit to ourselves or confess to God above that we understand that worry really is a lack of faith. That worry at its core is just simply not having the faith that we need to have. You know, I love what the Old Testament passage says in Isaiah. It's in Isaiah chapter 41. Listen to this. He says, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. See all your angry enemies lie there, confused and humiliated. Anyone who opposes you will die and come to nothing. You will look in vain for those who tried to conquer you. For those who attack you will come to nothing. For I hold you by your right hand, I, the Lord your God, and I say to you, don't be afraid, for I am here to help you." You know, that last phrase from the prophet there is such a good word for us today. For I am here to help you. You know, if you struggle with fear and worry and anxiety, just look out the window. Just notice the birds of the air. Notice how they don't worry. Matter of fact, if everybody's so supposed to be worrying because everything that's going on now, someone forgot to tell the birds because they just simply trust in their Heavenly Father to be there for them. You know, matter of fact, you know, another passage that comes to my mind right away is Psalm 23. Now, you know Psalm 23, but I would just like to highlight four words from that passage when he says in verse number 4, "For you are with me." For you are with me. You know, Psalm 23 talks about God's guidance, about God's restoration, about how God will be there with them through the most difficult times of life, even when the shadow of death is upon them. But the promise, the real promise of Psalm 23 is that God will be with us. You are with me. But here's the thing that I think is so beautiful about Psalm 23, because it's not so much that God is telling David that he will be with him, but it's David realizing that God will be with him. You see, these are the words of David. David is saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, that I don't have to be in want." David is saying that, "God, I know that you are with me." Do you know that today? Do you understand that? And see, folks, I don't say those words. I don't read those words. I don't share those words with you lightly. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there are a lot of people out there that are experiencing really difficult times, a lot of uncertainty. Some of you that I'm speaking to today, you've been furloughed from your job. You've had to go and sign up for unemployment. Some of you are wondering that when this is over, are you going to have a job to go back to? And if you do have a job to go back to, how long is it going to take for things to get back and to be up and running and get back to what we've always known as normal? You see, here's the thing. Even though David had a tremendous relationship with God, he also had a lot of times of uncertainty in his life. Just read the Psalms. Read about the times that David had enemies that were pursuing him. How people were trying to threaten his life and his very existence. He had enemies at every turn, and David said over and over and over again that his enemies would not be victorious because he knew that God was on his side. You know, David faced a giant, didn't he? And when no one else would go out and face the giant, David went out and faced the giant because he recognized that this giant had spoken against his God in heaven. And he just believed that God was going to see him through. So folks, as you look at your own life and where you are and where things are going, just be assured today that God wants to be with you, that he wants to help you, that he wants to see you through this difficult time in life. I just want you to know that if you've lost some things that are near and dear to you, a job or something else, God is going to see you through. God is going to give you something else, maybe even something better. You know, sometimes I look at this time and I think back, you know, I think about when things do get back to normal, there's some things that I don't want to get back to normal with. Are you like that? You know, for example, my family and I, we're sitting around the table more, sharing meals together, eating together. I mean, there's so many things about this that I think have had a positive impact on us and our lives. It's caused us to really put our faith and our trust in God and in God alone, that God is the only one that can see us through this difficult time. So if you're worried, if you're anxious, if you're fearful, just look out the window, because no one told the birds that they had anything to worry about. So they're just simply still trusting in their Heavenly Father to give them all that they need. And folks, you and I need to do that as well. And you know what? I think when we understand that worry is really a sin, that worry is a lack of trust in God, then that there's just one more thing that we need to encourage ourselves with and remind ourselves of, and that is just simply, let's just take one day at a time. You know, when the very first word came out about how we were going to have to social distance or we were going to have to stay in our homes, you know, I never gave it a thought that it would be for a week or for a month or even longer. But you know what? You just take it one day at a time. And if it turns out being a week or a month or 2 months or 3 months, you just take it one day at a time. And you get up every day and you look out the window and you say, God, I'm going to live like these birds that I hear singing out there, because nothing can take away the song of a bird singing. And that we can just trust in him and know, as the Bible tells us, he loves us so much more than these. And the implication is that he will care for us as he does for them. So let's just do that. Let's recognize that worry is a sin. Let's just take one day at a time. And however long it is that the days add up, that when it's over, we'll be thankful to God. We'll learn some valuable lessons about the preceding weeks and time that we've had. We'll ask God to help us learn some great things that is going to make life better for us in the future. And then we'll just continue putting our faith and putting our trust in him. You know what? I think if we do that, if we just look out the window and listen to the birds, they'll remind us of this beautiful, beautiful truth that God will be with us each and every day. You know, the other passage that goes along with that is when Jesus says, look at the flowers of the field. Look at the flowers of the field, that Solomon in all of his splendor was not adorned as beautiful as they. God will care for us. He will give us all that we need, and He will see us through this difficult time. So let's don't worry. Let's recognize worry for what it is. It's a sin. It's a lack of trust in God. Let's take one day at a time, and let's get through this with our faith and our trust in Him and our love and our service to each other. Would you bow your heads and pray with me, please? Father in heaven, thank you for these few minutes that we could share together. God, we do come to you today, and we just confess that worry is a sin, that worry is a lack of trust. And God, we all do it. We all do it. We worry about issues of health. We worry about issues confronting our family. We worry about issues with our job, with our employment. We worry about issues about money. We worry about issues of having enough or having what we need. We worry about an awful lot of things. But God, the birds of the air, they don't worry, because they know that their Heavenly Father will give them all that they need. So God, may we know that today as well. And Father, as we confess that sin of worry, may we just commit ourselves to living one day at a time. One day at a time, that Lord, knowing that you're already in tomorrow, preparing tomorrow for us. And may we, Father, know that you are there, and that if we keep our eyes on you, that you'll see us through this difficult time. And that, Father, we'll be able to come out of this time with a new sense of hope and security in you. And Father, knowing that you will be with us through all things. Father, may we know that David did not say that you said that you will be with him. Lord, he recognized that you were with him. So Father, may we believe your word and know, Lord, that it'll encourage us in all ways that we need as we face today and tomorrow. But Father, bless these wonderful people that are sharing with each other here this morning with this service online. And God, just let them know that we love them, that we appreciate them, that we're looking forward, Lord, to getting back together soon. But until then, Father, may we just glance out the window and see the birds of the air and how they depend on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Good morning. For this morning's communion meditation, I just want to reflect on a very simple question, and that is, what is communion and why is it significant? That is to say, what are we doing when we participate in communion? And to be straight to the point, and perhaps this is blatantly obvious for some of us, communion is an act of memory, of remembering the past. But memory is never a simple act of recollection, of recalling and retrieving the past. Memory is a complex process where the past is remembered in light of the needs of the present and in light of the unfolding future. When we break bread and when we drink from the cup, we are collectively commemorating the past in the present. The Lord's Supper, in other words, becomes the site of an interaction between the past, the present, and the future. Concerning the past, when we participate in communion, we are approaching the crucifixion. We're standing at the cross, so to speak. And concerning the present, whenever we participate in communion, we are activating the crucifixion in our present lives. That is, we look to the cross to transform our lives now, to express and articulate our identities now, and to solidify social bonds with those who share this identity now. And concerning the future, when we participate in communion, we are expressing our hope that the work of the cross, the arrival of God's kingdom on earth, will come to completion. That, I think, is the power of communion. As we drink and as we eat, we quite literally are situated on the precipice of time. We are approaching the past from the vantage point of the present and standing on the cusp of the future. And to close this meditation, I want to pray the Lord's Prayer from Matthew 6. And notice whenever we also participate in the Lord's Prayer, whenever we pray the Lord's Prayer, we also are standing on the cusp of time. We are approaching this ancient text from the vantage point of the present and expressing our identities in the present. And we are expressing our hope for the arrival of God's kingdom in the future. So Matthew 6, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. Amen.
As we close our service, would you please pray with me? Dear God, we know you're good. We know you're capable. We know that you can provide, and we know that you're in control. But God, sometimes it's hard to remember that. Sometimes it's hard to feel like those are all true. And so, God, we ask that you continually remind us of your provision, that you continually remind us of who you are, that you continually remind us of how good you are, and that you will care for us. God, thank you for being such a good God who cares for his children, who provides for us when we're in need. God, it's our prayer this morning that you would form us into a people who trust you with greater confidence every day. God, strip away our worry, Strip away our fear, strip away our doubt and anxiety, and help us to just cling to you. That no matter what comes, no matter what troubles we face, that we would put all of our hope in Jesus. That we would know we are saved. We would know that we have been transformed. And that we would know that you love us. You have given us a promise that our lives are safe in your hands, not only for this life, but for all of eternity. And so God, help us to remember that, and help us to turn to you with praise and honor and thanksgiving, that you would be glorified. God, we love you, and we thank you. It's in your Son's name we pray these things. Amen.